He's back again? God have mercy on us. That's what the Italian comedian Roberto Benigni had to say about former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi running for office again. Last year, Berlusconi was forced out of office due to a cascade of sex scandals. New elections will be held in February, now that the caretaker government of Prime Minister Mario Monti has been dissolved. The BBC's Alan Johnston reports.
A Silvio Berlusconi election campaign song from back in 2008. Thank God for Silvio, it's called. But by the time he was eventually ousted last year, most Italians were thanking God that he had gone. The economy was in a mess. Mr. Berlusconi was endlessly mired in scandal and regarded with almost open contempt by his fellow European leaders. Italy wanted something different, and it got it. Suddenly, the nation was in the hands of a grey, sober, grandfatherly economics professor from Milan, Mario Monti, a figure as far removed from the bunga-bunga partying world of Silvio Berlusconi as it was possible to imagine. And the commentator, Beppe Severgnini, liked the way the new man began to try to reshape Italy.
At some point he said, "I really think that Italians should change. And I really hope that some of the things I've done will help Italians to realize that some of our old ways, like, you know, deciding that every rule you have to decide whether it applies to you personally." Monti said, "I really hope that Italians will change." And Berlusconi's Italy is different from Monti's Italy, and I do prefer Monti's Italy.
So if it does feel a slightly different Italy, in what ways exactly?
People pay taxes in a way that they never did in Italy. You can see that the major tax evader is not boasting. You know, like a few years ago, you could see the pride. You know, "I'm not paid tax. Come on. Am I cool or what?" Even their children probably will say, "That is not the way to do." I mean, it's something that is inconceivable just a few years ago. And that's just a tax thing.
Under the Monti government, there was constant talk of reform, a desire for change in the justice and pension systems, in the world of work and elsewhere. The closing sequence in a feminist documentary made to protest at the way women have traditionally been portrayed, trivialized and sexualized on Italian television.
Perché non reagiamo?
Why don't we do something about it, demands the film's presenter. And the new head of the state broadcaster, Anna Maria Tarantola, appointed by Mr. Monti, insists that she will do something about it on the channels she now controls.
I think the way the media represent women in Italy is unacceptable. And it has to be changed. Because it is a cultural problem, it is a social problem, it is an economic problem.
There was often a sense that these good intentions and reforms didn't go far or fast enough. But realistically, Mr. Monti could only begin a process of change. Italy's problems, corruption, organised crime, stifling bureaucracy, are many and vast. There was a limit to how much could be achieved in just a year. Mr. Monti's priority was always the economy, and he did manage to wrestle Italy back from the brink of a Greek-style disaster. But the price at home came in the form of spending cuts and tax rises, and many Italians are yet to see the benefits of their sacrifices. An MP in Mr. Berlusconi's party, Deborah Bergamini, makes this argument.
Mr. Monti promised growth together with austerity. The results that we're having today, after over a year of the Monti's government, is certainly austerity. My country is in a deep recession, but no growth at all.
But for all that, according to the polls, here in the streets of Rome and across the nation, more than 40% of Italians approve of Mr. Monti's work. And although his government dissolved, there's much speculation that he'll still have a role after the elections. So the mild-mannered Mr. Monti may continue to bring his influence to bear on Italy for years to come.
That report from the BBC's Alan Johnston. It's Here and Now.